refresh my memory. How did you get into journalism to begin with? Why journalism?
Yeah, so it all started back in college. I was at Brown University, and I got there really just in time for this new audio storytelling student group that got started. And I was actually just talking about it earlier today with some folks. It was sort of funny because it was like an audio class, but there were no adults in the room. It was a bunch of students who were like, we've all listened to This American Life. We would like to do that. Let's just see if we can. Turns out it's like very hard, obviously, to make and produce like good radio stories. But it was so much fun. It was a bunch of students. We got a little bit of money from the university to get ourselves some audio equipment. And we would just go out into Providence, Rhode Island and beyond and find stories about literally anything. I was one day I was down in Southern Rhode Island talking to squid fishermen. One day I was talking to a Nigerian American student about how he navigated Black and African identity living in the U.S. and how that compared to navigating racial identity in Nigeria. And so it basically became this portal for me to talk to people about anything really that I found interesting and that they were doing. So once I fell into that, I was looking for ways to get a job doing this. And there was a lot of false starts, right? A lot like applying for all the NPR internships over and over again, getting rejected over and over again. And then finally landed an internship with Vermont Public Radio, went up to Burlington for a summer in college. And that's where I really got into news. I was like, oh, okay, this is how I take all this sort of amorphous storyteller audio project thing and turn it into something very clear and tangible. And I really appreciated that focus. And then from there, graduating college, I was again looking for radio jobs. And someone in Rhode Island advised, it's like, well, have you heard about public radio in Alaska? And I said, I have heard nothing about public radio in Alaska. And they said, oh, everyone goes to Alaska. You got to go to Alaska. There's all these small stations. They're looking for people pretty frequently. You should try Alaska. And so that's where I threw my hat into a couple of applications and ended up in Petersburg for a summer. Liked it so much that I moved over to Sitka because I wanted to stay in Southeast.
What drew you in when you were in Petersburg? What kind of drew you into the Southeast Alaska
experience? Well, I remember it came down. I remember I had applied to a bunch of different stations across the country. Basically, I'd graduated college and applied for radio jobs literally everywhere. And the ones that got back to me was one in Northern Michigan and Petersburg, KFSK. And I remember like they were both summer internships. So it was, you know, at maximum a 3-month commitment. But I was really weighing this. And I remember thinking, you know, staying in the lower 48 feels like safer and more familiar, right? I'm from Maine. Michigan's like, you know, it's halfway across the country, but it's within, you know, it's within range. I could drive there if I needed to. But I had this nagging feeling like, oh, you gotta try. You gotta try to go a little farther. You gotta do something that feels a little more unknown. Because I had never been to Alaska. I had never heard of Petersburg before. I didn't know the difference between Southeast Alaska, Interior Alaska. I didn't know anything about it. Other than that people had said it was a good place to go. And so then I decided, yeah, like let's, you know, I've just graduated college. Let's take the choice that feels like a little more out there and a little, you know, different from what I'd grown up with.
You went from Petersburg. The following summer, you came to KCAW for the fellowship.
So it was even just that fall. So it was in Petersburg.
Oh, okay.
Petersburg for a summer. And then basically I went back to Maine for a month and then came to Sitka. I think it was like late September, early October of 2019.
Tell me, you know, what are some of the moments at KCAW that live in your head rent free?
I think the most memorable experience at KCAW and certainly the most unique in terms of the kind of reporting you get to do both at Raven Radio and in Southeast Alaska in general was while I was up there, the ferry system was going through something of a crisis where the governor was proposing cuts or had already put through cuts. And basically that combined with some aging vessels and dock repairs meant that some of the towns in the Raven Radio broadcast region had basically been stranded without ferry service for months. One of them being Tenneke Springs, which I don't remember exactly how long they had gone without a ferry, so I don't want to misquote it, but it was a very, very long time. And we were, you know, Catherine, you and me and Rob were talking about what kind of reporting can we do on this? And we scraped together, a couple hundred dollars from different areas to get me on a float plane to get out to Tenneke Springs for a few days to get there and talk to people about what were the consequences of not having a ferry for something like 8 or 9 months. And it was my first time in a float plane, you know, flying out from Juneau under the clouds, circling around, landing in Tenneke, you know, taxiing up to the dock. It was a whole very novel experience for me. And then I stayed there for 3 days at the house of a KCAW supporter who very graciously sort of opened up his home to me. And Tenneke being just, you know, really just kind of one little dirt road on the water, I kind of just went door to door for the next few days. And I kind of canvassed this town. You know, it was maybe February or January. It was dark and cold. Not a time when a lot of visitors came. And I remember I'd packed my bag with beer and fresh produce. That was the request from my host there, who so graciously opened his home. I was like, is there anything I can bring for you? Yes, beer and like peppers and onions.
I was going to ask what produce, peppers and onions.
I think it was peppers and onions, maybe some greens. I don't remember. All I remember is that it was beer and produce. And so I was talking to people who, you know, one man who had had to delay medical care because he couldn't afford a float plane to get to Juneau. He would normally take the ferry. Consequences for the local businesses. The store was talking about how expensive it was to get, you know, a gallon of milk, which is heavy, on a float plane. A gallon of milk going for over $10 or something at the store. And this was, of course, pre-inflation of COVID. And so that was, you know, sort of understanding the consequences that the residents were facing. And, you know, a lot of people had moved there understanding that it was remote. You know, they aren't expecting, you know, a ferry every day, but they were, you know, counting on a ferry every, you know, month or 2 months to be able to get back and forth to Juneau. People who had delayed, you know, medical care for themselves, for their pets, etc. And so that was really sort of the most unique reporting experience that I think I've ever had anywhere.
I was going to ask, you know, was that the most impactful reporting you think you did at KCAW, or are there other stories that come to mind? And I guess when I say impactful, I guess I mean impactful on you as sort of a fledgling reporter, you know, when you're taking away lessons from each of these stories you work on and carrying them with you.
Yes, absolutely. That was absolutely the most impactful story on my trajectory as a reporter. It was the most independent I think I'd ever felt. The trust that you and Rob put in me and the whole station put in me to say, okay, we've got this fellow, he's been here for a few months, we'll put him on a float plane, get him to Tenneke, and he'll come back in a few days with something. Because then also I went from Tenneke back to Juneau and was sort of chasing down state legislators in the state house to try to get them to answer for this.
Right. I'd forgotten that you went to Juneau after that.
Yeah, so got to talk to people. You know, the governor declined to comment, but I was in the state house. I was crashing on someone's floor in Juneau, and you know, kicking down doors in the state house for an afternoon. You know, exciting personally to get to Tenneke and to meet people there. It was really meaningful to talk to everyone, and then was impactful in terms of taking. I felt sort of like I was armed with those perspectives to go back to Juneau and say, all right, state legislators, what do you say to these people, your constituents, who find themselves stranded?
And I wonder, is there a particular lesson that you've pulled from those experiences or from your experience at KCAW, maybe working on another story? What's sort of the biggest, you know, lesson you learned while in that chair at KCAW?
Yeah, I think it was a number of different things. But the biggest lesson I think I took away from specifically trying to report on the smaller towns in the broadcast region is the importance of showing up and paying attention as journalists. Like, even if it isn't the biggest breaking story, for a community that isn't consistently represented in news, going from no representation to a reporter on the line saying, hey, I am interested in what's going on in your community because it's important to know the challenges and issues that your community is dealing with. Not to say that that fixes everything, or that, you know, everyone is just thrilled to have a reporter just show up, because it's not just showing up, it's then following through, it's being accurate, it's being fair, it's being thorough and consistent. But that's a consistent lesson that I've taken through into my current reporting in Maine, which focuses on immigrant communities, which obviously very, very different from Southeast Alaska communities, but a similar lesson for me has been a through line of that experience has been, as a reporter, take a look at the coverage, figure out who is not being covered, and go there and ask questions. And it can start pretty simple, like that what happened in Maine, where I was, you know, with starting with Maine Public Radio in 2021, building up the immigration beat here. The first stories I did, they all arose from just calling people and saying, what's going on? Like, we haven't done a lot of immigration reporting here before. What should we be paying attention to? What are people talking about? Right. What are the issues? What are the challenges? And that's something that I really took away from Raven Radio, with the focus on where are we, like, where are the communities that we're not covering? What's going on there? Get on the phone, call them, figure it out.
I that's something I love about Raven Radio, is that, like, community members know that they can call us or come into the newsroom. Our door is always open. And I think we almost always take community members up on that offer to cover something that we maybe have been missing.
Oh, yeah. There's no, at Raven Radio, there was never an illusion that we were separate from the communities we were covering. That level of accountability is really grounding as a reporter, to know that the people you're reporting on are really paying attention. And I think it goes both ways, where I found that people really respected that, you know, we were trying to get it right, and would tell us if we were missing something, or if there's something else that we should be paying attention to. Is that understanding that we're all part of that same community.
You know, being really conscientious about, you know, the choices you make in your reporting and how you represent people in that work, and how you carry their story is crucial in a small town like Sitka.
Absolutely. I just remembered one more lesson that is something that has stuck with me, that I've brought up in different occasions. I remember one day you and I were in the office, Rob comes in, and I was sort of flailing around looking for what to do that day, trying to find something to report on. And he comes in and says, I think there's like some new like traffic arrangement at one of the intersections. Curious about that. And he calls some guy at Sitka Public Works who he knows, and they chat about it for a while. And Rob pulls together like a 4 or 5 minute story for that night, pretty much immediately. And it's like the most popular story of the week. I mean, it like totally blew up on Facebook, and it was like, what is the town doing for changing this different intersection to try to either improve traffic or make repairs or something? I don't remember the details of it. The lesson I took away was just like, keep an eye on the town you're reporting on, and just the value of living in the place you report on. Rob was just driving to work that day and was like, it looks a little different over there. Let's see what's going on. Calls the guy who he knows is going to know, pulls together a story, like a 5 minute story in like a couple hours. I'm flailing around trying to find something to report on. And I just saw the clarity and efficiency with which he approached that. And he knew that it was something that people would be interested in. And it absolutely blew up on social media, because it was important. It was like a timely change, and people wanted to know what was going on.
It's funny in a small town to what stories carry importance, you know, would that story, you know, in San Francisco, you know, carry as much weight maybe within its immediate, you know, 2 or 3 block radius, but in Sitka, where you're driving the same road every day, that's, yeah. Let's see, I guess, you know, so you were at KCAW 2019 to the spring of 2020. You're actually here kind of at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. So that's sort of, I'm sure that sort of put a little bit of a damper on the end of your experience at KCAW. It was certainly a strange time to be reporting anywhere. From there, you went to Texas, right?
My fellowship ended and I was like, once again, sort of applying for jobs all over the place, and got a job as a morning edition host in Marfa, Texas. And I went there. It was July 4th weekend of 2020. We were having an unseasonably cold summer, even for Sitka. It was like, it was topping out at like 61 and rainy. And I get off the plane in San Antonio. It is 100 degrees. And I am wearing my extra tough boots, wool socks, and a thick sweater because that was all the clothing I had, basically. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to make it. Once I sort of got over that adjustment, there were striking similarities between Marfa, Texas and Sitka. Marfa, of course, in the lower 48 on the road system, but hours and hours and hours from any significant town. Very limited infrastructure. It really did feel like a bit of an island, but instead of an ocean around you, it was desert. But it had a similar effect. So all of that was relatable. And then what comes with that is the, you know, similar to the approach of reporting in Southeast Alaska, is the reporting I saw and did in West Texas was very community focused, very focused on like, what are the particular needs and character of this community? Really trying to tell the story of place.
And you were there for a year and a half. How long were you in Marfa?
I was there for a little less than a year. I got there in July and I left in April of 2021. I really, really liked Marfa, the town. I really loved the radio station. The people who worked there are terrific. It was like a wonderful, wonderful place to work. What got me in the end was I had moved there during the pandemic. I was living alone. And that wore on me. I mean, it was a hard time for everyone. It was a hard time to be anywhere. But I had been thinking of eventually moving back to Maine, where I'm from. And the pandemic just sort of accelerated that for me. Really feeling that isolation and wanting to be closer to my parents, to my brothers, to my community in Maine.
And you have been there ever since, and you have done a few jobs at Maine Public Radio. Can you talk a little bit about the work the trajectory of your work there, how that's evolved?
Yeah, so I got hired as a Report for America reporter covering immigration, so tasked with building up the station's immigration beat, which hadn't existed. I did that for 3 years. And then in June of this year, that contract ended and I came out of that and they kept me on, which is wonderful, as more of a general assignment reporter with a continued focus on immigration. That lasted until about August when, unplanned, our all things considered host moved on to a new position elsewhere. And so suddenly we needed to fill the ATC position. Me and a couple other reporters were called in who either had a little hosting experience before or who had done a little bit of training. And we were asked to fill in on a temporary basis. I said, sure, I'll get trained up. We'll do that, expecting it to be temporary. And then as it went on and we got trained and we started on this rotation of hosting ATC, similar to how it works in Sitka, where you have, you know, you trade off day by day or sort of throughout the week. We all really liked it. And so that position change was formalized maybe last month. And so, or maybe the month before. Yeah, I think it was in October. So since then, me and three other reporters are ATC host reporters. And that's been the new role that I have there. So it's a mix of hosting, a mix of general assignment reporting, while still keeping a focus on immigration.
That's so interesting how the you know, the role you have is kind of parallel in some ways to what you were doing at Sitka in Sitka, but on a much bigger scale for the whole state, because often people will go into, will either continue to report and eventually go to hosting and just do that. Can you talk a little bit about sort of the perks of doing it all?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the perks of doing it all, I'd seen it before, right? Like that's what we did at Raven Radio. That's what I had done in Petersburg, and it's what I did to a lesser degree in Marfa, but really at Raven Radio is sort of the most analogous situation where we all reported and then we traded off hosting. And I think there are so many benefits to that. One, you get to do your reporting, which is awesome. You get to host, which is this whole other set of skills, and you get to really interact with listeners more, because when you're reporting, when you're only reporting, your work sort of ends once you file the story and then the hosts deal with it. But when you're hosting, you are that last step of bringing the reporting to the listener. And it's a whole other set of skills, right? It's not just the reporting. It's your presentation. It's how do you sound both clear and authoritative, but also warm and friendly and happy, but serious. It's a whole other set of skills. How do you, in Sitka, how do you read a pretty complex, like 5-minute marine weather forecast? These are all complicated things. How do you hit the timing post exactly to work with the NPR clock? It's a whole different thing and really gives you an appreciation for how the reporting gets delivered, because it's all in the delivery, right? I mean, it's all well and good to do all this reporting, but if it isn't delivered and presented in an accessible, clear, friendly way, then you're losing that last mile. So I think it's really great to get a full understanding of how radio works.
What would your advice be for an early career reporter coming into Sitka or a community like Sitka?
Yeah, I mean, I would say talk to as many people as you can. And don't try to know any more than you know. And what I mean by that is come in really honestly and be, hey, and say, hey, I'm new here. I want to understand what's going on. Tell me what's going on, you know? And like, just ask a bunch of questions and don't be afraid to ask a simple question, because you just got to set a baseline, you know? And I think there's a lot of respect in that. Like, you're not assuming anything. You're not saying, oh, I'm a reporter, I'm going to come tell the stories that, you know, that need to be told about your town that you need to hear. It's like, no, start to get to those stories. You kind of flip it on its head and go meet a bunch of people and say, hey, like, I don't know, talk to some teachers. What is it like to work in the school system? Talk to fishermen. What are the issues and challenges facing the fishery right now? What are people's histories in this town? Talk to artists who live there. What are they thinking about? What sort of inspires them? Talk to restaurant workers. What is that like? Just talk to people about what it's like to live in the town. Not even for any particular story, just for your own education. And I think that's where the most interesting stories will arise from.
Yeah. I wish we could keep talking about your time at KCAW and what you're doing now in Maine. There's so much more to talk about, but it's been a joy to get to see you and talk to you again and hear a little bit about your experience, Ari.
Likewise, Catherine, really, really good to talk with you.